It wasn't all that long ago that Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker ended his short run for the White House.
Today, I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the field in this race so that a positive conservative message can rise to the top of the field. With this in mind, I will suspend my campaign immediately.
Governor Walker is attending the Republican National Convention this week in Cleveland and was one of the featured speakers last night.
He's also been using the gathering as an opportunity to get reacquainted with delegations from key primary states, as well as the GOP party movers and shakers. That may indicate, some say, he's ramping up for another run for the White House, maybe 2020, maybe 2024.
Matthew DeFore joins us now. He covers state government for the Wisconsin State Journal and has been writing about what Governor Walker's recent activities might mean. Matt, good to have you back with us.
Veronica, thanks for having me.
So you're there at the GOP convention in Cleveland. What evidence do you see that Governor Walker is laying the groundwork for another presidential run in 2020?
Well, it's obviously still very early. We haven't even gotten done with this presidential election yet. We're just nominating the candidates. But Governor Walker on Monday was visiting with the Iowa delegation. They, of course, hold the first in a caucus contest. They did this year, and they'll be doing it in 2020, 2024, 2036. And the governor visited with South Carolina yesterday, and I was able to go to that. There's a video on Madison.com. You can watch his speech. And I was talking with the South Carolina GOP chairman. He was, explaining that in 2012, Marco Rubio and Chris Christie at the RNC were doing these kinds of breakfasts. They were establishing that relationship with, people in other states, and obviously these early voting states are crucial in the nominating process. Donald Trump, of course, wasn't, so I kind of joked with him about that. But, we've talked to others who say that these kinds of visits are very important if you're going to lay the groundwork for a future presidential run. Doesn't mean you're going to do it, but it certainly is a hint that you haven't stopped thinking about it.
Well, and as you said, he spoke yesterday at this delegation breakfast. What was the tone? What kinds of things did he say?
There were a lot of echoes of when he was on the campaign trail last year, and even before he was on the campaign trail. He's establishing a rapport. He's telling stories about, flipping hamburgers in Delavan, and he tells a joke about Paul Ryan being told by his manager that he didn't have the interpersonal skills to work the cash register, and is able to add on the addendum that he would wonder what the manager was thinking when he saw Paul Ryan at the at the State of the Union address sitting behind the president. So he's doing that same kind of shtick where he is endearing himself to these party leaders in other states, and, of course, he's a delegate with the Wisconsin delegation, but he's making the rounds.
It's interesting, going into this race, he was seen as a rising star. He was topping a national poll at one point, even, and, of course, here in Wisconsin as well, just for a little bit before he kind of flamed out early on. But I wonder how he's perceived now. He wasn't an advocate of Trump early on, in fact, kind of the opposite. So how do people see him there at the convention?
From what I can tell, he's definitely got a following. People definitely like him. He's made some good relationships. I get the sense that he certainly has the potential. A lot of people are critical of he was this rising star, like you said, but just kind of he ended up falling flat on the presidential trail, and that might have been the sign of inexperience. I know former Governor Tommy Thompson had said previously that he doesn't think Walker will be able to do it again. That it's hard enough running once. I sat down with Tommy today, and he was suggesting that it might not be impossible. But I also got the impression that he thinks a lot more highly of Paul Ryan possibly running in the future. So,
and hearing about what Governor Walker himself has said, you said he sounded a little bit like he was using at least the same verbiage that he did when he was running earlier, but has he tipped his hand at all and said, yeah, I am thinking?
What he did say is that, which I thought was a little bit of a tell, was that he could run in 20 years and still be younger than Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump are now. And so he's, I think he's turning 48 this year. And so you know, that it certainly creates the impression that he is not stopped thinking about it or ruled it out. And so that's, I think, what we can say from what he's been saying. But he's not, he's obviously not completely showing his cards at this point, because he's still got to run potentially for re-election in 2018. And his run for president, his run for president is maybe one of the reasons why his poll numbers in Wisconsin have fallen below 40%.
Well, and he's there ostensibly, right, to support Donald Trump, the candidate, but that's not a role that he's embraced in this entire journey. There was Wisconsin, in fact, did not go for Donald Trump in the primary, and Scott Walker at one point was saying to his fellow candidates in the GOP field, you should drop out so that we can get an alternative to Trump. So how is he perceived in that phalanx of Trump backers?
He's trying to thread the needle here, because he recognizes that there is obviously huge support for Donald Trump among the Republican base. He doesn't want to alienate them by seeming to be offended too much by Trump or to be against him. And he also wants to make sure he's still seen as credible among the establishment, who have held their noses or completely rejected Trump. And some of them are, you know, some of the big names in the party aren't even here. You get the sense that he's trying to balance those things. How successfully he's doing it, you know, remains to be seen.
So how full-throated would you say his support of Donald Trump is while he's there? Has he completely turned that corner and become a robust supporter, or is he still hanging back a little?
I think so. I mean, he didn't mention Trump's name, I don't believe, at the state convention, but he's talking about Trump. You know, it's for him, it's obviously very much, we can't elect Hillary Clinton. With Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, I think there's this feeling that Trump, they can maybe control him in some sense, so they have some ability to influence the outcome of things. And so if there's concerns about other, you know, his leadership style or things he says, you know, they really just sort of brush past all of that because of this sort of, you know, this real intense animus toward Hillary Clinton and the President Obama administration. You know, that seems to be a real motivating factor for a lot of Republicans who've come around.
We're talking to Matt DeFore right now, state capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. He's covering the GOP convention in Cleveland, where he joins us from a restaurant. We're talking about the political future of Governor Scott Walker. And curious about what the future would be like with a President Donald Trump. I imagine it's a different future potentially based on who wins. So let's say for the moment that Donald Trump is the next president. What does Scott Walker's future then look like?
We might have different opinions on this, but there is this idea of a Trump victory in November could have the sort of impact that George Bush's victory had in 2000, although there were a lot of national event, or international events going on in that period, including the war, that, you know, again, in 2002 is when Governor Jim Doyle was elected for the first time. So if Trump's in office, it seems like it might help the Democrats in 2018. And, you know, in that situation, if Walker's approval numbers are still low, or you know, does that influence the decision? I mean, it's hard to say for sure. But if Hillary wins, you know, you almost wonder if that, again, 2010 was the Tea Party wave year after Barack Obama got elected. Could we see something like that in 2018 again, just because people are continuing to sort of, you know, be anti-establishment and not like the policies of the Democratic administration? You know, and does that create a reason for Walker to stick around and run again and maybe help his chances? I think those are the ideas out there. It's really very early to know.
Well, and as you said, Trump is an anti-establishment candidate. So if Donald Trump does win the presidency, do people then look at someone like Scott Walker, who is an establishment Republican, and say people didn't want that? That's why we voted for Donald Trump. And then you're looking for candidates who come more from the outside.
It's possible that that's what ended up hurting him in the presidential. If they're in a situation where Trump gets beaten pretty badly, you know, they may pull back from being completely anti-establishment. They may give another look at sort of the conservative figures, who, you know, people like Paul Ryan, you know, who I think share a lot of those conservative views. But, you know, again, we also don't know if it's just a matter of the people who are nominating Trump not being really dyed-in-the-wool conservatives. But yeah, you know, we'll see what happens with Walker in the future.
And you pointed out that he's still got another election as governor to win if he wants to stay in a position of power. How does that affect how he's seen on the national stage? If he loses, for instance, his seat as governor here in Wisconsin, what happens to his chance on the national stage?
Yeah, I mean, as we've seen with other potential contenders, once they get out of elected office, it is a little bit harder. Although if he loses, if he was worried about losing, I don't think he would run. It seemed like he would. If you see him running, he's got a pretty good indication that he's going to be able to win again. I think a loss would certainly be a blow to a future presidential run. And again, he's also got to contend with Paul Ryan as the House Speaker from Wisconsin, who's in a tough position himself. But you know, his poise and his leadership in the House might be viewed as, the antidote to Donald Trump should they get beaten badly in November.
What is Scott Walker's relationship like with Paul Ryan?
Oh, I think they're very close. I'm not that close to either of them to be able to, gauge how this whole question of which one of them runs would play out. It would be surprising. I've talked to some people that it would be surprising if they both ran. Who knows?
And right now, Wisconsin is particularly well represented in the Republican Party's upper echelons, as you said, with House Speaker Paul Ryan and Republican National Chairman Reince Priebus. Does that help Walker in where he is, or is there a sense that Wisconsin is kind of saturated?
So Reince Priebus being the chairman of the party, I think the impact we've seen of that is he has been really reaching out to Paul Ryan and Scott Walker and Ron Johnson, for that matter, to get them on board with Trump to really squash that anti-Trump movement out there. If you'll recall that some of the people in the anti-Trump Free the Delegates movement were actually calling up Scott Walker, trying to recruit him as a leader. And he, I don't think he tamped that down entirely at first, but he has since, basically sided with Donald Trump. And in doing so, I think he's been siding with Reince Priebus.
Now, going back to Scott Walker's talk at the delegation breakfast, some of the highlights I understand that he talked about Wisconsin's record with concealed carry and curbing the collective bargaining among public sector unions. How does that go over with the people he's talking to?
In the people in Wisconsin, you said, or the people in the...
People there at the convention, at the breakfast in particular.
Yeah, you hear, when he brings up those stories, you do hear that smattering of applause. Although I would point out that when he during his presidential campaign, 71 days, one of the shortest in recent history, he came out with a policy position to essentially do the same thing at the federal level, which doesn't have nearly the same level of union strength as Wisconsin's public sector unions did prior to 2011. And that policy, statement fell flat. There was no real rallying in any, sense around that idea. That catapulted him into any more of the spotlight than Donald Trump had already occupied. And a week later, he dropped out of the race. So, Wisconsin was an anomaly this year in being a state that really resisted Donald Trump. And I think in other respects, it may be an anomaly in some of the ways we've had our politics play out in the last 5 or 6 years.
And Matt, as we wrap up, we talked about how Scott Walker dropped out of the race early after some pretty high hopes were pinned on him. Are you hearing any theories about why that happened and how he might pivot and change what happens if there's a run in his future?
Well, he dropped out because he ran out of money. He had a lot of money in his super PAC, but it was sort of the first real election cycle in the presidential election cycle where the super PAC was sort of being touted as the thing that could really change the game. But super PACs cannot coordinate with the campaigns. And so he was running out of money because he needed staff. He needed, I don't know if he needed it, but he built it out too quickly. And so that's probably a big lesson he learned. Some person I talked to mentioned how Rick Wiley, his campaign manager, was maybe not the best choice because he's more of an infrastructure kind of guy and getting those infrastructure built up in the state. But he's not necessarily a political strategist. Somebody who would be able to recognize that this was going to be a long haul kind of primary fight, and that they needed to conserve resources. I think that maybe people advising Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio better recognize.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us.
Veronica, it was great to be with you.
That was Matt DeFore. He covers state government for the Wisconsin State Journal.